Part 3 of Hollywood, Its Morals and Manners. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Chuck Williamson. Hollywood, Its Morals and Manners by Theodore Dreiser. Part 3. The Beginner's 1,000-to-1 Chance. We will suppose that you are a beginner, and that, aside from a very little money that you have brought with you, and in the face of very steady overhead expenses which do not concern dependents, you have only your luck as a movie beginner to depend on. One of the hardest phases of the work, as you will discover then, is that scarcely anywhere, in the production end at least, is there any such thing as a steady job, not even for the stars, though of course there is such a thing as a contract and a steady salary while the same runs. As a rule, casting directors, some of the more important directors, a few of the assistant directors, cameramen, and, here and there, an actor or actress who is especially good as a heavy or second lead may have a contract which runs for a year or two, rarely if any longer. In movie land, he is a person indeed, for he can see clearly where his next year's rent and car are coming from. As for the others, they literally lead a hand-to-mouth existence, and make no mistake. Once they prove efficient, of course, and become fairly well known as interpreters of a given type of character or role, and by some trick of personality have managed to enlist the favor of certain directors, casting directors, stars, and on occasion the heads of the great movie concerns, the president or vice presidents of the same, they may count on a certain number of calls or engagements per season, which will net them an annual income of some small size. But as for the humble beginner, he or she who has risen to the rank of, say, ingenue lead, or bit part worker, or a player of minor vamp roles, or comedy or emotional bits, oh, what an uncertain life! One day, in an agent's office, where they are considering a number of screen workers or artists, as the vouchers read, for a small vamp part to last at the most 2 days, and the rate of pay for which was to be $15 a day, no more, I heard a girl, who was 1 of 20 being looked over by those in authority, and who was already very favorably known about the studios as an interpreter of small vamp parts, exclaim, "Gee, I wonder sometimes what I come for. I get calls and calls to compete with a lot of others for a place, but I never seem to get the place, or anything of late. I haven't worked for so long that I scarcely know how it would feel to work again." And she had been in so-called active movie work for over 2 years. You may have seen her face, for a few moments at least, in a number of the most important screen productions of the 2 years past. Yet she was out of work, had recently been compelled to lower her rate from what it had been, 35 a day, to, for the time being at least, 15, and was getting very little work to do at that. But even in flush times, which invariably increase the number of aspirants by hundreds and thousands, the number who are out of work is always very large. On any set on which you may chance to appear will be scores who will admit, assuming that you know them well enough for them to be able to tell you the truth, that they have worked for months, and that it is difficult to get anything more than the briefest of bits at any time. In this realm, you can always tell the last important engagement any worker has had by the manner in which he or she will refer to it, will recapitulate the important points and incidents of the same. Toward the end of every production, the screening of the same on the set, and in connection with the actors who have always carried through a period of weeks, say so many as 5 or 10, a certain glumness or depression becomes apparent. The end of this fine job is now very near. In a day or two, at best, it will be over. And then, all who are here so gaily disporting themselves and congratulating themselves on so good an engagement, will be out looking for another place. And where will they find it? Will some casting director or office call them at once? Or will they be waiting around for weeks as they were just before they secured this particular place? Who can say? Perhaps they will work again next week somewhere, and again perhaps they won't. There is never the least certitude for anyone in this matter. I recall now with considerable, though at that sympathetically diluted amusement, one handsome and, to everyone in the game in Hollywood, known thespian who, at the end of every set and in the face of a most expensive car, which he sported for looks, as he said, and the jobs it might get him, for he rented himself and the car together at times, he and the car acting together in the film, would exclaim the moment he was notified that he was through, "Oh, all right, we're done, are we? That's all right. Tomorrow, I'll go out and get a better job." But would he? Not on every tomorrow, you may depend upon it. His many engagements sprang from the fact that many directors wanting the use of a very handsome car from time to time, in some picture, of course, and knowing that this particular car was very attractive, could not be had without its owner acting as the chauffeur, they employed him. After a time, his young and pretty wife left him for some reason, and then he and the $10,000 car disappeared, apparently for good. Another of the most discouraging things to all aspirants and beginners, and even to those with the most enviable reputations in the field today, is the fact that the various casting directors of all the great producing companies are apparently leagued not only to force down the salaries of everyone in the business, but also to see to it that the beginner, however talented or attractive, is made to serve a long and grueling apprenticeship before he or she is permitted to enter the ranks of those who may expect to earn anything more than a bare living, if so much. As one of the casting directors of one of the larger companies put it to me, "Like everyone else in the world, I pay as little as I can, as long as I can. If a girl or a fellow, after working a little while as an extra and familiarizing themselves with the business, see fit to raise their day rate, very good. Let them. But getting it is a different matter. I've watched lots of them. The moment they get a small part and someone tells them they're pretty good, or they think they are, they come around and jump their price from $7.50 to $10, or from $10 to $12.50 or $15, or even $20 a day, and all within a few months or a year. But they don't get it from me unless they are very exceptional. And as a rule, they cut themselves out of lots of work that they might have had." This, it should be remembered, is always the point of view of the casting director, or indeed anyone officially connected with the films. The lots of work is not to be taken too seriously. Sometimes, when the market is overrun with newcomers in the field, as is almost always the case, they loaf for months before they get anything, sometimes for as long as they hold out. Or they change their minds after a time and come around and reduce their price, though personally I think that is a mistake. If they don't go up too soon and are very well established before they try it, after a time, especially where they are well liked and know it, they have at least some hope of getting it. But if they raise without careful thought as to the chances and then come down, it isn't so easy for them to go up at any time. The average casting director has them fixed in his mind then as someone who has been defeated once, and he will naturally think that he can make them stay where they are because they probably lack the courage or the means to hold out. One of the oldest and best tricks they work is to get a stand-in with some one studio, if they can. Sometimes a newcomer can do that for some reason. Some one casting director, here or there, thinks extra well of them, or they establish themselves somewhere in the favor of someone. Whatever it is, they then nose around all the others to attract as much attention as possible, and always quote a higher rate than they are getting at the place from which they get the most of their work. But that doesn't work as well now as it used to. Most casting directors in these days stand in with one another to this extent that they give each other tips as to how much any given person is worth, who can do the work as well or better than another, and what their last working rate at the studio was. That makes it easier to fix most people about where they belong, and unless they have very exceptional talent, there they stay for a pretty long time anyhow. I know it sounds a little cold-blooded, but so it is. You have to keep costs down these days, or your own position wouldn't be yours very long. There are times, of course, when a director or a casting director is in a corner and in a hurry. There is a scene waiting, perhaps, and possibly some of the people upon whom he has been counting as being just the ones for certain parts are not to be had. That is the time that the new fellow of ability, who is trying to raise his rate and break through to the next floor above, gets his chance. The chief difficulty, of course, is the presence of those hundreds and hundreds who are constantly arriving and striving to enter this very difficult and, in the main, unsatisfactory field. Another is the presence of so many who have already qualified in every possible way and are now merely waiting about for a lucky engagement of one kind or another. For every star and lead and heavy and ingenue employed, there must be, at the very least, several hundreds who could do the work almost, if not quite, as well. And in many cases, the chances are that they would do quite as well. But in so far as the beginner is concerned, that is anything but a help. It serves, as has been said, to keep him exactly where he is. "Look at who's asking 15 a day now," I once heard an assistant casting director in charge of chasing report to his chief the moment he had hung up the telephone after calling up Miss Somebody and returning with a photo of the same in his hand. "She says she's getting that from other studios." "Oh, all right," was the very kind reply. "Let her see if she can get it. Not from me, while I'm here. Somebody's been fool enough to pay her 12.5, maybe, and now she wants more. Can her picture, and forget it. She'll be around here again one of these days, looking for work at 10, and maybe she'll get it, and maybe she won't." Well, will she come around? It is entirely possible. After trying to hold out for a better price, many do. And will she get work at her old rate? Nearly always. Unless there has been very much feeling over the matter, or unless the casting director is exceptionally small, which is often the case. They do not appear to hold grudges where they can eventually triumph, as in such a case. End of part 3.